Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. Down through the years, having rubbed shoulders with so many men through the Fishing for Men program, through the Father-Son program, through the Shepherd's Camp programs, we have experienced conversation with dads over and over and over again. And I got to be honest with you, godly dads often feel inadequate, often feel a failure. And they struggle with the failures that they may see in their families or their children. They often feel like they own a lot of the responsibility for that which may not be what God wants in the lives of their families or their children. And sometimes, perhaps we are contributors or guilty of part of that. But we must always remember that our children have a will of their own. And they make their choices, just like, think about your dad, think about you. You had choices, you made your choices. And obviously, your parents weren't all-consuming as far as their, you know, directing and correcting and guiding you in every aspect of your life as well. This morning, what I want to talk to you about is how you can have markers of being a godly dad. How can I be what God wants me to be? But I set that preface because I want you to know, guys, sometimes we feel frustrated. We get to the point as we say, well, why try it all? Because I know that I can't be the perfect dad. Hey, got that. We're all there. We can't be the perfect dad. We're sinners saved by grace. And we have an old nature. And we fight against that old sinful self. And there is no benchmark dad except our Heavenly Father. All the rest of us need to pull together to the glory of God and work at being the best men we can be for God. And if you're looking for someone perfect, you're going to have to go to heaven. Because every one of us shy of that are not perfect. And I know that there is a lot of pressure upon us. As a matter of fact, in the world today, the world mocks men, don't they? Men are stupid, men are uninformed, men aren't as intelligent as women. And that's really how the tables have turned from a patriarchal society to a society that puts men down. When in reality, what has been expected of us is what we is expected of all human beings, that we are to live to the glory of God to the best of our ability. And so, men, I want to encourage you today. But I also want to identify two key factors that are critically important for you as a man of God. And that is, are you correctable by God and by God's word and by truth? And are you directable by God and by God's spirit and by God's truth? You see, our families don't expect perfection, or at least they shouldn't, because they're not going to find it in us. But they should expect a trajectory, a direction in our lives of wanting to live to the glory of God. There are going to be times, men, when we're going to have to say, I'm sorry. Just plan on it. There are going to be times when that's going to be the case, and we need forgiving wives. We need forgiving children. We need that in our relationships. We need to confess our sin before our Heavenly Father. We are going to fail. But failure should not be a fallback position. Hey, I'm a failure. Okay, so what? I'm going to go through life, you know. That should never be the case. We should always be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These are goals we should be working at. What I want to help you with in this message today, which is really all about wisdom, is to see what you are as a man, to identify what you are. And I promise you, by the time I get to the conclusion of this message, it will be very crystal clear what your trajectory is as a man. And this may be a message that might open your eyes as much as the eyes of those around you. I want you to see yourself the way God sees you. And it's very interesting how Proverbs chapter 9 is framed. It actually is used in a metaphor, a parabolic sense. It's going to use symbols. It's going to say that you were invited to a banquet, actually two banquets. One is by Lady Wisdom. And if you go to Lady Wisdom's banquet, in other words, if you're hanging around wise people because you choose to do so, if you're hanging around wisdom itself because you choose to do so, this is what your life is going to be like. You're going to be correctable and directable. You're going to be teachable. You're going to be instructable. But if you're hanging around at Female Follies banquet, you're going to be two key things. You're going to be selfish and sinful. And immediately, all of us in this room, there's none of us in this room and say, well, I'm over here. I'm at Lady Wisdom's banquet. Well, the truth is going to tell you whether you really are or not. And it's all going to come down to this. Are you correctable and directable? You see, Christians who are at Lady Wisdom's banquet, you ready, guys? They're not perfect. But they're wanting to be, and they're wanting to grow. But those that are at Female Follies banquet are really going to be engaged in selfishness, foolishness, and the process of making poor decisions, and they're okay with that. They're going to stay there. They're kind of okay with that. So let me read for you, and it's going to be kind of interesting how I'm going to read this for you. We're going to read about Lady Wisdom first. Then we're going to jump down in this chapter. We're going to read about Female Folly. And then we're going to look at what I call the meat in the middle. And it's going to teach us what we need to know about how we are to live for God. So let me begin. Proverbs chapter 9. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn down her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Now that is the banquet of Lady Wisdom. Now let's go down to Female Folly in verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. Now let's look at the meat in the middle, and this is exactly how we're going to preach through this. Verse 7 through verse 12. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and thy years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you with a concerned and heavy heart, and yet a rejoicing heart, for the men within the hearing of my voice. And obviously this has an application for all, but on this Father's Day, Lord, we're emphasizing dads, we're emphasizing the men here. Lord, there are families whom we know of that are in crisis. And Father, these are the families that you know of full well. They're struggling with hidden sin. They're struggling with the desire to live for you. And Lord, they want to be what you would have them to be, but they find it very difficult to be that. And so, Lord, the crisis of their circumstance really is hinged, Lord, on their willingness to work with you. I pray, Lord, for those who do want to live for you and they're struggling. And, Lord, they feel a failure. They feel inadequate. And at times, Lord, they just want to crawl away in a corner somewhere and just kind of be left alone because they feel like a repetitive failure. Father, educate them. Edify them. Encourage them. Strengthen them to continue on in their walk for you, to be a faithful man. I pray, Father, for those who are walking with you and yet need growth, Lord, and they need maturity. Father, work mightily in each and every one of our hearts so that as a result of this message on wisdom, we we would become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, thank you, Father, for adopting us into your family, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Two women, one a lady and one a female, invite you to a banquet. One is good, and obviously one is bad. To which banquet will you go, or more correctly, to which banquet are you already at? Lady Wisdom or Female Folly? In every church, some Christians attend Lady Wisdom's banquet, while some attend Female Folly's banquet. To grow, we must go to the right banquet, to the source of wisdom, and to become what God would have us to be. But I want you to know that you have an old sinful nature. There is the world around us, and there is the evil one himself, Satan, who does not want you to go to the wisdom banquet. And there are multiple ways, which the New Testament says are the wiles of the devil, in which he will try and keep you from going to Lady Wisdom's banquet. Lady Wisdom's banquet is going to provide for you a process, which we call sanctification, of becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? That's hard. It is really hard for a man because he has the pressures and responsibilities of job and of family and of church and of society and of government and of nation, and all of that rests on their shoulders to one degree or another. And to be honest with you, all of us as men, we do it imperfectly. And so we need God. We need God's strength. We need God's enablement. We need his power. We need his divine direction and decision-making, because when the family says, time to make a decision, where all the heads turn? That's right, they turn to Dad. And Dad is expected to have a criteria of information so that when a decision is made, there's not consequences, there's good and positive results. Well, sometimes we as men, we feel inadequate. We feel ill-informed. We feel like that we're not ready to make those decisions. And sometimes navigating those things, we have failed, haven't we? And we actually become fearful of failing again. So sometimes fear becomes debilitating, and the fear of man bringeth a snare. And so it tightens around our neck. And so we don't, you see the scenario. And so some dads back away from responsibility. Some dads back away from leadership. They back away from the authority that God has given them. And they go into kind of an isolation mode, and they default responsibility to their wives. And then when they make the decision that the husband was supposed to make, then they can blame the wife for the poor decision simply because they were afraid to make that decision themselves. And as you can see, this becomes a very vicious circle. So there is the world, the flesh, and the devil that is fighting you. And it does not want you to make the right decisions. And so God says, I invite you to a life's path. And it's symbolized as a banquet. A banquet where you constantly feast on that which God has for you. The banquet is going to come to you in many ways. It will come to you through the Word of God. It will come to you from preaching. It will come to you from faithfulness to church. It will come to you from personal devotions. It'll come from your prayer time. It'll come from couples' encouragements in through spiritual times. That's where Lady Wisdom is going to give her instruction. But you've already seen by the tertiary reading that Female Folly's wisdom is going to come from where? It's going to come from the world. It's going to come from worldly people. It's going to come from fleshly people. It's going to come from Satan himself. So let me walk through Lady Wisdom and what her resume is. She's calling you to come to her banquet. Well, what's her resume? Notice with me in verse 1, Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn her seven pillars. And the idea behind that is she has a very large, firm house that needs to be held up. And so it's a great place to go for strength and wisdom and decision. She hath killed her beasts. And the idea of the word beast there means that she has gone to the temple and made sacrifices. And now the food from that sacrifice is available, and she is right with God. She is a righteous person. And what she has done is she's going to lead you in the direction of worshiping and living to the glory of God. She hath mingled her wine, and this means that she has, and literally I believe oinos here is referring to wine that has alcohol in it. And the idea is there's a large contingent of people that are being invited to this banquet, and they are going to have to drink. And so what they're going to do is they're going to have a large volume of water that needs to be purified. And I think this is one of those classic portions of Scripture that said God allowed a wine to ferment so it could be mixed with water so that it would have the same effects as what Hylex does for us. And I think if this was written in a modern vernacular, Lady Wisdom have mixed the water with Hylex so that everybody has plenty to drink so that they're refreshed. And the idea there is that you have sustenance to be able to go the distance for God, and has no reference to having mind alteration from the consumption of alcohol. It has that she has purified this water and she will continue to do that. It is a water that is going to provide you the ability to go on for God. She also hath furnished your table. In other words, she prepared. And anytime you go to Wisdom's table, guys, is the meat going to be there? Is the food going to be there to give you what you need to get through life, to make the right decisions, to go the distance for God? All of these metaphors are there to teach us that, hey, God has provision to help you in your daily life. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places. In other words, from the people in authority, in creation, and all around you, there are examples of what? Godly wisdom lived out in the lives of godly people. And that's why sometimes we study some of the great heroes of the faith, right? Fox's Book of Martyrs is a great point. In verse 4, it says, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him." I've got to stop and talk to you about that word simple. It comes from the Hebrew word pathein. And it doesn't mean someone who doesn't have a lot of mental faculties. It doesn't mean someone who is dumb. It doesn't mean someone who doesn't have the ability to think well. It means someone who needs to make a decision. That's what that word means in the context of this whole passage. So Lady Wisdom is calling and say, "Hey man, do you need to make a decision about this, that, or the other thing? Do you need to make a decision about whether to buy that or not? Do you need to make a decision about where do we go on vacation? You need to make a decision about how we are to live. You need to make a decision about how to discipline the children. You need to make a decision about how to treat your wife. You need to make a decision about job, about location, about ministry, about church." I mean, there's multiple decisions that need to be made. Lady Wisdom says, "Hey, all of you who are pathy, all of you who need to make a decision, come on over here. Lady Wisdom is the one who's going to give you the information to make that decision to the glory of God." So who needs to make a decision? Let him turn him thither. Come on over to Lady Wisdom's banquet. Make sure that you access all of those things that are going to give you God's perspective of wisdom. "Because for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread." And the idea there, again, is the wisdom. And I'll explain this, by the way, the wisdom here that it's talking about in this passage of Scripture. Most of you know that there are multiple synonyms in Hebrew for the word wisdom that's translated in your English Bible, wisdom. This comes from the Hebrew word chokwath, and it means wisdom that will deal to teach you how to the basic issues of life. It's wisdom that will help you in your relationship with God to help you become more moral. It's a wisdom that's going to give you discernment between what is really good and evil. It's a wisdom that's going to show you what is your duty and responsibility as a man. It also includes diligence in your secular matters, how you work and how well you do that. It will give you skill in the accomplishment of your business affairs, as well as handling people in interpersonal relationships. It implies an ability to apply consistently that which God teaches you to your life so that you're able to live it out over a long period of time. That's what this bread in verse 5 will provide for you. "And drink of the wine which I have mingled." And that wine that she mingled it with water, and it's a symbol of the water of life that is going to be able to provide you with sustenance to go the difference. You will not become super thirsty. You're not going to get to the places to where you can't endure. And how do you do that? Look what it says in verse 6. "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." That word understanding is a synonym to the word in Hebrew for wisdom. So we understand here that Lady Wisdom is calling out to every one of us and saying, "Come to my banquet. Come and learn what I have for you. I want to instruct you." And again, where do you learn from Lady Wisdom? The Word of God, from men of God, from the preaching, from your local church, from personal devotions, by looking at godly examples in history. There's sources, even by creation. There's all kinds of sources of wisdom out there, right? There's a lot of sources of wisdom, and we need to open our minds and heart and pay attention. Well, that's not the only one who's inviting you to a banquet. Drop down with me at verse 13. A foolish woman is inviting. This is obviously female folly. Her resume, why would you go to her banquet? What is she like and what is she trying to elicit from you? How is she trying to influence you? A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. The idea behind clamorous there means that she's trying to draw attention to herself. She's trying to draw attention to herself so that you will leave off that which God wants you to do and enter into a world of selfishness and sinfulness. And so this is her invitation. She is clamorous. She is one who needs to make a decision, but obviously is making all the wrong. And she literally knows nothing that is of value to you. She is going to derail you, this foolishness. But she's influential. Look at verse 14. For she sitteth at the door of her house and on the seat in the high places. Now, you know what the word high places there really is probably a reference to? Temples and churches. Female folly even has her presentation and her fingers actually go into the places where God's people are, trying to draw them away, trying to get them to do things that are unbiblical, trying to get us to make poor decisions. And so this is her invitation. She calls in verse 15 to passengers who go right on their way, those who are going right by, you're passing by this false information. By the way, what is one of the things that we're learning in a very loud and clear manner from the book of Proverbs? That all of our so-called Christian friends are not really Christian, or perhaps they're not even really friends. And they're trying to influence us in a direction that is not to the glory of God. And one of the greatest things that you can ever, ever enjoy is for God to identify who your friends really are. And listen, who your friends really are. There are acquaintances in your life, people you even love. They may be family. They may be your parents. It may be your husband. It might be your wife. It might be your children. It might be former church friends from another place. Hey, all of those people can be acquaintances and people that you love, but they may not be wisdom friends in your life. They may not be wisdom friends. And so you're going to have to learn to apply the truth, discernment to sift out that which should be listened to and that which should not be listened to. Female folly calls to those that are going right by, even in the temples and the churches, the Old Testament and the New Testament, calls out her invitation. What is her invitation? Well, it's to the simple, those who need to make a decision. So listen, guys, anytime you say, you know what, I need to make a decision. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Vacation, job, family, discipline, communication, relationship, how do we spend money? All of the aspects of a family that the dad has to weigh in because he is God's appointed authority in areas of our lives. He needs to make a decision. Female folly is always saying that, hey, come on over here. I want you to make a decision based on selfishness and your old sinful nature. I'm calling to you, and it's going to appeal to your old sinful self. Lady Wisdom is calling to you at the very same time every day. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, those that I'm trying to navigate here, I need to know what to do. What does she say to you? Well, this is how you can identify her. And obviously, this is in a sexual context, but I don't want you to just view it as that, because it's really trying to get you to have the lust of the flesh for anything that's contrary to God. But in verse 17, female folly says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is sweet. Where do you normally get water? Well, in that agrarian society, you know where you normally got water? You either got it from a lake or a river or a stream, or you had to dig a well. And to dig a well is a lot of work. Isn't it much easier to go to the neighbor's well when he's not looking and take water out of that well? Yeah, it's much easier to do, but the problem is once you set a pattern of taking that which you have not worked for, you are going to set the pattern of making decisions in the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance always has consequences. It always has consequences. God wants you to choose right, not choose easy. You know, to go to college was tough. It was tough. To go to Bible college was tough. To go to seminary was even tougher. You ask my wife. We had the TV on, we saw Rawhide, the old Western on there, and both of us smiled. because the indulgence that I did in seminary, I usually got up, started studying at 5 in the morning, and studied till about 11 at night when we weren't at work or I wasn't in school. But at 11 at night, Rawhide came on, and we had a little 5-inch black and white TV. We used to watch the old Western Rawhide, and usually I'd fall asleep before that. But, you know, seminary was a lot of work. And then the doctoral training, that was even a lot more work. It was not the choice. It was not the path of least resistance. Trust me, it was not the path of least resistance. And I needed my dad's encouragement, my mom's encouragement, my wife's encouragement, the encouragement of the preachers around me and people around me to pay the price to go and do that. That was hard to do. I mean, it was really, really hard to do. And it was Lady Wisdom's banquet that provided the directives, the motivation, the support, the encouragement, the guidance, and all of those things to accomplish those things. Stolen waters maybe are sweet for the moment. But if you found out today that all of those degrees were purchased because I sent in 4 box tops of Kellogg's Corn Flakes and $35, and that's how I got all my degrees, you'd go, well, maybe we'll rethink you as being our pastor. You know, hey, it was sweet that, you know, but come on, you didn't earn those, did you? That wasn't really earned. Well, it's that process of cutting corners that Satan wants you to take. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. In other words, it means let's hide. Let's hide from our responsibilities. Let's hide from truth. But he that knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell or Sheol, they go to the grave. This is what female folly offers to each and every one of us. So you go through your day, and there's constantly this banquet you can run to, the banquet of wisdom that comes from God, the banquet of wisdom that's coming from the world. And anytime you need to, make a decision, you simply need to make a decision. Both are always available to influence your mind to make a choice. For to which banquet will you continually go? You want to know which banquet you have been going to? The meat in the middle is going to tell you what you've been doing. And as it describes what you have been doing, here's the key thing. Are you willing to be corrected? Are you willing to be directed? Because this is going to expose you if you'll be honest before God. The meat in the middle begins at verse 7. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. And that he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. One of the things that God wants us to do is to respond to the Holy Spirit's confrontation and conviction. And how you respond reveals which banquet you are attending. Christians can attend either banquet by choice. But either you're going to be feeding on the bread of wisdom or you're going to be feeding on the bread of folly, the sinful, selfish, indulgent choices that don't honor Christ in your life. And the way that you can tell which one you're going to is how you respond to conviction and rebuke. Many times I see Christians harden their hearts. They close themselves off. They grieve and quench the Spirit of God's work in their life. And the idea when you go to rebuke them, what happens? Well, it says there, you rebuke this scorner. He's not going to, you know, no, I'm not going to listen to you. That's not the way it is. You don't really understand me. And they don't have a quiet, humble, sweet, teachable spirit because they have been self-indulgent. They have been sinful indulgent. And that hardens their hearts. The way of the transgressor is hard. And so it says there in verse 7, he getteth to himself shame if you try and deal with them. You rebuke a wicked man, you get yourself a blot. The Hebrew word there, mu'um, means to. It's actually going to be a stain in your life. They're going to say, no, they're going to fight you. There's going to be conflict. Can I talk to you families for just a minute? If dad is at the wrong banquet, there's going to be conflict in the home. If dad, at any time he needs to make a decision during the week, goes to the female folly banquet for wisdom and self-indulgence and sinfulness, there's going to be conflict in the home. It's going to create conflict every single time. Because they're not able to be reproved. Look what it says in verse 8, reprove not a scorner. What are they going to do? They're going to hate thee. And so think about that, ladies. Think about that, kids. When dad has gone to the wrong banquet and you come to him and you say, hey, I want to correct you. Well, guess what? God is already getting that being scorned, and they're going to scorn you, and they're going to become hateful. What do hateful men do? They lash out in anger. Hateful men will quit talking to you. Hateful men will isolate themselves. They'll start sneaking around. They'll do things as to where they don't want to be caught or observed. That's what happens when a man becomes a scorner because he's going to female follies banquet. And all of us in this room as men, we know that. We know that's the marks of what a man does when they refuse to get right with God. What happens, ladies? Wives, families, what are we to do? Are we to reprove them? No, I think the greatest weapon at your particular time is to be godly and to pray. Because the more you try and reprove them, the more they're going to be hateful. And the less good stuff is going to be accomplished. You need to turn them over to the Lord. You know what? Something I've tried to teach families, and I've been preaching this for the last 40 years. When your husband really needs to be changed, don't try and help the Holy Spirit. Just give truth. But when it comes to the power of change, argumentation, manipulation, which the husband is going to call nagging. Although some of the ladies went, nagging. The husband's going to call nagging, that's right. Are you really nagging? Well, maybe sometimes you are, maybe sometimes you're not. Men nag too. Sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. What we're trying to do is communicate truth. When you do it in such a way that it's just for your selfishness, that's manipulation. When you do it in a way that you're trying to glorify God, that is what? That is Christian glorification. That's trying to do that which is good. In verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, though, and they will what? They will love you. Well, a wise man is the only one that's feeding at Lady Wisdom's banquet. They're marked by two things. They're correctable and directable. They're correctable and directable. But the man who's not correctable nor directable is what? Is a man in crisis. Is a man in crisis. One of the things we need to do is pray one for another. One of the things I pray for you on an ongoing, regular basis is that you, as the people who attend Berean Baptist Church, would grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You need grace. That's God's ability. God giving you the desire and the ability to live for him. You need the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that? That's Lady Wisdom's banquet. You need to feed at Lady Wisdom's banquet so you become more like Lady Wisdom. Verse 9, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet what? He's going to grow in greater wisdom. And so there's a trajectory. Do you see it? There's a pathway. Do you see it? The more you expose yourself to God's truth, the more faithful you are to church, the more faithful you are to Bible study, the more faithful you are to reading, the more faithful you are to prayer, the more faithful you are to Lady Wisdom's banquet, you are going to become wiser and wiser and wiser during the pathy times of your life, the times you need to make a decision. So teach a just man and he will increase in what? He will increase in learning. But do you notice the converse? Really implication here? That if you go to female follies and you indulge your selfishness, if you indulge your sinfulness, you're actually going to stunt your spiritual growth. And the more you are reserved to not open yourselves up to God's truth, the more stunted you are. You say, duh, that's automatic. Yeah, but why do we live that way? When we know clearly what God is trying to teach us. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So what are we to do? We are to, and I've been forgetting to change the slides here, we are to be a prayerful man of God. We are to get on our knees before God, and we are to seek the Lord. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is that understanding that we need. And it says in verse 11, for by me thy days shall be multiplied. And the idea, you're going to have good days. You're going to have the blessings of good days as you attend Lady Wisdom's banquet. And the years of thy life shall be increased. But look at verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. So I've got a question for you today. Which banquet are you at, guys? Which banquet have you been attending? It's marked by how well you receive rebuke and correction. It is a dark, dark experience to try and correct a dad who refuses to listen to God's truth. Men are prone to pride. We don't like to admit mistake. We don't like to admit that we have needs. We want to be viewed as accomplished. We want to be viewed as self-sufficient. We want to be viewed as someone whom you can look up to. But a man who attends Female Folly's banquet is not worthy to be looked up to. And all of us men in this room have been there. We've done that. And so what we need to do is continually keep confessed up and prayed up. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me ask you a question. Had David ever blown it and gone to Female Folly's banquet? Whew. Whoa. Loud, isn't it, in 1 Samuel and 2? It's very loud what David had done in the wrongness of life. He had made really poor choices, but had David made a string of really good choices? All right, guys, there is grace to be found with God. There is forgiveness to be found with God. How many of you men want to be marked by the worst decisions of your life for the rest of your life? None of us want to be identified as that. Have you failed? Yeah. I love in 1 Corinthians where Paul writes unto the Corinthians, and he said, and such were some of you. This is what you used to be. This is what you were formerly. None of us can go back and change the past, can we, guys? We can't change the past. But if we'll go to Lady Wisdom's banquet, we can learn from it. And we can see what not to do. We can see what choices not to make. And it's never too late to do right. Even though you may say, you know what, some of the consequences of the wrong are probably going to last a long time. Okay? So then you can go in the corner and commiserate. You can isolate and feel sorry for yourself. Or you can try and be the best thing that you can be to the glory of God and to your family for the rest of your life, every day of your life. Amen? You can do that for the rest of your life. So which banquet are you attending? Which banquet have you been attending? You know how you can tell? If you're bristling to what I'm saying right now, saying, no, you've been at Female Folly's banquet. You've just identified yourself. You've just identified yourself. You say, well, I'm not that bad. You've just identified yourself. Well, you've just identified yourself. A broken and contrite heart, O Lord, thou wilt not despise. God wants us to be correctable and directable. God wants us to be moldable and shapeable to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We learned in our Ephesians study that you're predestined to be conformed to the image of what Jesus Christ looks like. You're predestined to become like God in your daily lives. So guys, here's the point today. Here we are at Father's Day. And what is the greatest gift we can give to our families and even give to our Heavenly Father? Humble, submissive, willing, obedient, correctable, directable heart to the glory of God. That's the greatest gift we can give. Admit when you're wrong. Ask for forgiveness. And hopefully, families, it's your responsibility to what? To be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Extend that forgiveness. I know you look to us as men and say, boy, they need to be. Yeah, we need to be, but we always aren't. And you know what? We are going to fail you. Forgive us when we do. But look to us with an expectation. Families, expect us to want to go on for God. Expect us to want to be men of God. expect us to be dads to the glory of God. Accept nothing less. And when you find less, pray for us. Encourage us. Build us up. Help us. Strengthen us. Through the edifying process, remind us of Scripture. Be patient and long-suffering and kind to us. Because I want you to know the men in this room, the men who come to this church, are a lot more emotionally vulnerable than you can even imagine. And their hearts are much more tender than you can even imagine. And they're called upon to be something that, quite honestly, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the encouragement of the saints, is functionally impossible to be. And we don't like to be failures. Did you know that about men? We don't like to fail. We don't want to fail. We want to be successful. And do you know the temptation of pretending to be successful? Do you know how great that is? It's huge. It is really huge. So guys, you're not going to be perfectly successful. Guess what? They already know that. Yeah, okay, let's admit that. And secondly, one of the greatest gifts we can give them is say, thank you, honey, for telling me that. You're right, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? I needed to be corrected there. I needed to be directed there. But don't be surprised if it's not true that they're not going to just say it to get along, to go along and get along. Men love truth. Men love justice. Men love right. But we struggle so much living in it in our own lives. We need your love, your grace, your patience, your appreciation, your prayers. Men, let's be men of God. Come on, man up. Let's be men of God. Set aside the selfishness. Quit listening to female folly. She's alluring. She's tempting. But Jesus is the Lord of your life. You know what one of my favorite phrases is? I've given my life to Jesus, and I just can't do that. You know who I tell that to the most? Me. That's the one I tell it to the most. Sometimes I have to say it to others, but most of the time I have to say it to me. I've given my life to Jesus. I just can't watch that. I've given my life to Jesus. I can't drink that. I've given my life to Jesus. I can't say that. I've given my life to Jesus. I can't think that. I've given my life to Jesus. I can't go there. I've given my life to Jesus. I can't be vindictive. I've given my life to Jesus. I can't be bitter. I've given my life to, and it just keeps going on and on and again. I'm visiting what? Lady Wisdom's banquet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Men, how many of you say today, Pastor, I need to work on this area of my life. Pray for me. I want to be a man of God, and I know that there's growth that needs to be there. And I want to be more correctable and directable in the hands of the Lord. Pray for me. Men, say, yep, I'm lifting up my hand. That's the need in my heart. I need that in my life.